Utica Common Councilman for the first ward, Frank Vacera. Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Good morning, Mark.
Went nuts last night, huh? Got a little crazy.
Well, I think let's start. You played part of that WKTV interview that I it was brought to my attention last night, and I called Bill Warden on that. Jolene Ferris was at the meeting, and let me set up the picture for yesterday. Well, a couple of days ago, when the news came down that we had to close our ambulance, I was getting a lot of calls from constituents. And I called Councilman Zecca, who is the chair of the Public Safety Committee, urging him to hold an emergency meeting, and I commend him for doing so. So he called an emergency meeting for yesterday, 1:30. Everything was sent out as normal. It's sent out with a 24-hour notice, sent out to the mayor, Chief Russ Brooks, and a number of other parties, all council members. And when we got to the meeting yesterday, Councilman Zecca and myself were the only two council members there. None of the other council members showed up on the committee.
So you were the only two council members present for this public safety committee?
For the emergency meeting, the only two.
Public safety, that everybody loves. Public safety, you were the only two council members to show up.
And this was critical, Mark, because there was no plan in place as of that point.
Yeah.
It was still not known if we were going to get a stay. And I wanted to make sure that there was a seamless continuity between going from the city's ambulance service to Kunkel. And I found the reporting of Jolene Ferris's story totally remarkable. She was in the room, and we were at that meeting at 1:30. Jolene Ferris was sitting in the council chambers before that when I walked in.
Mm-hmm.
So from 1:30 to about 2 o'clock, Councilman Zecca was waiting and trying to contact the other council members to be there. Chief Russ Brooks, the mayor, and others who were notified, and no one showed up. So about 2 o'clock, Councilman Zecca started the meeting. The meeting lasted maybe a half hour,
mm-hmm.
and near the end of the meeting, maybe around 2:20 or so, we heard some noise going outside. Jolene Ferris leaves the caucus room, goes outside, and the mayor has his unscheduled press conference to announce that there was a stay.
Mm-hmm.
No one had the courtesy from the mayor's office, from the clerk's office, the fire chief was out there, to come into the room, which was 20 steps away, to say to Councilman Zecca, myself, and the other people in the room that the mayor has some news. Would you like to come out into the next room to hear what's going on? Not one of them did that. So when we ended our meeting, went out to the room and found out, you know, the news that the stay was granted. And when I asked the mayor why we weren't invited, he began to get very excited,
mm-hmm.
and said that no one called him to attend the meeting. And I said, well, you were notified through the normal channels, through email. He says, no, he had to be called. And Chief Russ Brooks was there, and he was public department heads are required. The law says they shall attend meetings or send a representative
mm-hmm.
to meetings when they're called. And I asked Chief Brooks why he didn't come, and he said that he was unavailable, but he was right in the next room, and asked why he didn't send a representative, and he says he wouldn't send somebody there in that room. That's not his call. He has to follow the law. He has to send a representative. And then the mayor back again stating that he didn't come to the meeting because he wasn't called. And that's when I said to him, I said, I made the remark that his administration was a sham. And I said, I didn't shout it.
Right.
I said it very quickly. I said, making up these excuses at this time when this city, we are not knowing within less than 12 hours what we're going to do and to make sure that people that call for 911 and call for an ambulance are going to get picked up and treated properly. I says, I find that totally irresponsible.
And so it's clear.
So I was not shouting. Jolene mischaracterized this whole story. Her dialogue doesn't match up with the video. If you see the video,
Well, yeah,
I'm not even in the.
Yeah, I want to play it again right now.
You got it, because people had to go and see this.
And when
how disjointed
Jim Zucca and
how
Frank
poorly
this
news story was put together.
This
fabricated.
This is Jolene right here.
Was a sham, and Raffaro told
back that up.
That he was dragging the city. While the mayor was in the city council chambers announcing that the city was granted that stay, the public safety committee of the council was meeting in the adjoining caucus room. And when council members Jim Zucca and Frank Vissara came out, they got into a bit of a shouting match with the mayor. Vissara told the mayor his administration was a sham, and Raffaro told Vissara that he was dragging the city down.
What did you say?
You heard me. What's wrong with it?
What did I say? What did you say?
You heard me.
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
You said you heard me.
No, I did not.
I mean, that dialogue going on there, the mayor is shouting at another person.
That's Larry Tenori.
But you see what Jolene Ferris there, she puts the dialogue with the video. Okay, the implication is that was myself and Jim Zucca, and that wasn't. And I think that this type of journalism is very shoddy and is not helping to get the story out. The story was, is the public going to have coverage at 12:01? That was the story.
Is the public going to have coverage after? I mean, right now, the ambulance service has got their stave. I have to call it a stave execution because that's what's really going to happen. It's going to either get killed or it's going to go on. So the governor's or the appellant judge has said guys are going to be able to operate to what, the end of July?
I haven't seen anything in writing. That, again, it's July 11th. That date has come up, too. I'm not sure what that means.
July 31st, I believe, is the date, is what I've got in my meme. Yeah, so July 31st. I heard July 11th, too, earlier, but then somebody called and said it's July 31st. So.
And we'll probably get that in writing at some point.
I'm sure, yeah.
But the thing is this. The thing that I found out at the meeting, and Kevin Revere, who handles the 911 operation up for the county, Councilman Zucca and I got some information. Again, we were getting this information, without knowing that a stay was coming through mm-hmm. with less than 12 hours notice left. And what we found out is that the city has 4 ambulances. Kunkel has 12 ambulances on the road ready to go. So not only could Kunkel meet the needs, they could far exceed what the city was doing.
Are all of Kunkel's ambulances located within the city that they have on the road?
Yes,
how many?
So
they have 12 at any given moment, 12 ambulances throughout the city.
They had 12 ambulances, okay, to pick up any slack and because of the weekend and all that. And that meets anybody's expectations by threefold. So the question wasn't whether Kunkel could fill the void. The question was what the connection would be when
right.
the 911 call is made. Okay, from a person, would it go now directly to Kunkel and make sure there were no bumps, mm-hmm. okay, between the call and getting it to Kunkel ambulance and not the fire department?
So was there, according to Kevin, was there any bumps? Would everybody be seamless?
This is my opinion. He was uncomfortable because Chief Brooks wasn't there. I think he wanted to bounce some
yeah.
questions off Chief Brooks. Because the firemen are the ones that are handling the 911 calls, and he said that he would do his best to make sure that there was a smooth transition.
Mm-hmm.
Kunkel Ambulance even said that they would be willing to supply a person to go up and help them with the 911 calls, and I think that everything that has been said, the implication is that the people aren't going to be. The citizens of the city aren't going to be in a safe mode. That was what was implied, and I think that's totally unfair.
I'll give you a quote, I believe. I just got to figure out who said it. Yeah, this is what Chief Brooks said. It would be the equivalent of one of the hospitals closing, is what Chief Brooks was said.
And I don't know how. I mean, that's such a stretch. I don't understand how anyone can make a statement like that when you only have 4 ambulances, and most of the time 3 are on the road, and Kunkel said that he would have 12 yesterday ready to go on the road for the city of Utica. So the casting of the doubt was not with who was going to respond to the calls. It's how were they going to be responded to and to make sure that the lines of communications were open.
We're speaking with Utica Common Councilman Frank Vissara. Frank, now, do you think the city has any chance of winning this in any level of court, in your opinion?
Well, that's not the point, Mark. The point is, and Chief Brooks, I said this yesterday morning at the news conference when somebody asked him, I think you were there, if, was he prepared what were the plans if the ambulance service did not get a stay? And he said that he didn't have a plan.
Yeah.
I found that totally remarkable. I mean, when you talk about, I mean, he's the head of the fire department, and not to even come to a meeting yesterday, and he didn't know that they were going to get a stay, not to sit down at that table with us and with Kevin Revere and others to try to put together a plan so that at less than 12 hours from that point, if the stay didn't come through, what were we going to do and were the citizens going to be safe? He refused to take part in that. And to say that's in my opinion, that's an unprofessional approach, I think is putting it mildly.
It is one of these issues that keeps growing and taking on. This story really has taken a life of its own. And with the shouting match, call it what you will, yesterday, a lot of people...
Well, the mayor was shouting. Okay, shouting. Okay.
Everybody was... I mean, I can't just... You can't just put the fault on the mayor. I think everybody was kind of... I do put fault on everybody involved, though. I'll tell you...
If you could, I was disagreeing with the mayor, okay? I was not shouting with the mayor. Was shouting, if you saw that in the video.
Yeah.
He was the one that was shouting, okay? But so when you disagree with somebody, and I don't mind that, because I do disagree with the mayor. But report it properly. And I think Jolene Ferris did a disservice because she characterized it and clouded it in such a way. And I don't know why this was fabricated the way it was.
You know, I saw the report. Yes, I couldn't make it back there yesterday because it seems like everything was going on at City Hall yesterday. And unfortunately, I had to come back here. I had to get some paperwork done. But, you know, I'm sorry I missed it because it seems like the way that it was reported... That it was this, you know, a famous Utica politician's shouting match and knockdown drag-out fight, and you're saying it really wasn't that
what
way.
What you saw right there, that was it.
That was it then.
And that was between the mayor and another person.
Yeah, that was the mayor and Larry Tenori. Which, honestly, I don't know why Larry would be kind of interjecting himself in such a way at this point. I mean, he's running for office. He's running for.
Well, I think citizens were concerned. I think he was at the meeting, and I think anyone that was at the meeting would wonder why the mayor wasn't there, why the chief wasn't there, to make sure that the continuity of communication was going to be in place. I think.
I don't think a regular citizen would start shouting at the mayor though, and saying.
My recollection was that the shouting started on the other end.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I'm just trying to get everybody excited. I wish I was there because this is right up my alley. I would have had my handy dandy recorder there going, oh, what's going on? But there was a lot. And Randy Soggs, he resigned yesterday. That was another big story. The governor closed the local jail. That was another big story. Leon Antion has predicted the winners for the Boilermaker. That was a big story. It was a busy day yesterday.
It was. And this is a long weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank God, right, Frank? Thank God it's a long weekend. But so how is this issue going to get resolved? I mean, what's the end result that you're looking for?
Well, the rule of law must be upheld, and it can't be discarded. I remember when the mayor had a run-in with the state concerning the civil service matter and tried to say that the state civil service department was wrong in their ruling. With all that business with the fire chief, appointing of the fire chief and the exam and all that, and now going up against the New York State Health Department.
Fire chief or police chief?
A police chief.
Police chief, okay.
Police
chief.
And now going up against the health department. Emotions have to be separated from fact. And regardless of whether you want something, you might want to take your kid to Disney World.
I sure do.
Okay, mm-hmm. But if you lose your job and your wife loses her job or spouse, Is it responsible as a parent to spend that money that you were saving maybe for food or rent to blow it all and go down and continue with the vacation? We're in the same predicament. We have no money. Everything that we do, we have to we have scarce resources. We should not be squandering them, and we should be putting them in places where they're most needed. And you have duplication of services, and this is one of the big things that has been a problem here. In one breath, you'll hear people in the administration say we have to consolidate, and yet they go out and defend another ambulance service when you have a private entity.
it does
more than willing and able to take the job, and it has done the job in the past. It doesn't make any sense.
They do say it's turned into a revenue stream for the city, though. Do you believe that? I mean, they said there's going to be a full audit Tuesday.
Well, you can't have it both ways. First of all, if they're saying it's to provide a service because it's a needed service, then the monetary end of it should be secondary. However, now they're saying that you can't get rid of this because of the monetary problem. So which way is it?
It's a tricky situation. And people
have problems connecting those logic dots, because when you put all these things together, like keeping the fire academy open that loses $120,000 a year, doing codes operations that cost you $90,000 a year we're paying for stipends, we're collecting $26,000. These things, this is bad management. This is mismanagement, and this is very detrimental to the taxpayer of the city.
I was at my house, and my landlord was there, and there was a fire truck out. And I went to home for lunch, which I usually do, and there's a fire truck outside of my house. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I said to my landlord, is it a problem? He goes, no, it's codes. So they have a big rig out here. Is that needed?
That's exactly what's been troubling me, to send a rig out like that with three people on board. No one in a private business would ever perform a service using that truck with three people when it can be done with one person in a four-cylinder car.
Get a Prius. Invest in a Prius and send that out there. You'll save on gas.
In the summertime, you might even be able to use bikes.
Oh, man, a moped. I've been wanting a
Those
moped.
Those are fun.
It's my lifelong dream to own a moped for the summer. I don't know what I would do in the winter, but it's my lifelong dream. I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday. I want a moped. Where do I go? I go to the city of Utica and all around. I can imagine going down E-40 on a moped. That was cruising. So, Frank Fisera, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Mark.
And we'll be looking for some more news. And they're looking to provide, the judge said, you know, July 11th is when everybody's got to have their stuff in. And then we'll make a ruling by then. But
then they'll have about 2.5 weeks to make the decision.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. Spent too much time at City Hall, though, yesterday. I tell you, I wasn't going back. I can't go back.
Well, you got 4 days off. Or 3 days.
Oh, 3 days. Frank, let's not kill me here. 4 days off. I would love it. You hear that, everybody? 4 days off. No, anyway. So that's Utica Common Councilman Frank Fisera. We'll take a quick phone call, and I got to take a quick break. Hi, talk of the town, you're on.
Yes, good morning. I just want to say you're doing a hell of a good job, and this city is a big joke, the way it's being run.
All right, thank you. Or Frank,
I didn't hear that.
You said you're doing a good job. I don't know who he's addressing. I'll take credit for that call, though, Frank. You said I was doing a good job. Frank, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Mark. You too.